Oh, hello, Paul and Jordana. Thank you for inviting me back. It's good to be back on your show. Today I must address Jordana and correct something that I think she doubted when she first heard of it, when Paul told her that I spent some time in my younger life sitting on a pine tree talking to a wounded pig at the foot of the tree. Let me back up a little. I was 13 years old, coming home from school, I think it was a Saturday, and I find a note on the kitchen table. We are hunting boars, we have complaints from farmers, and we hope to kill some wild boars. Why don't you join us? You know where we are, you know the usual place. So I jumped on my bike. It was probably about a 10-minute bike trip. I parked the bike at the entrance to the woods, and I knew where to go. These were dense pine forests with clearings. The clearings are just wild enough that a lumber wagon could go in and take out dead trees. So I'm walking through one of those clearings. I hear a shot, and three things went through my mind. Number one, they hit the pig and killed it. Number two, they missed, and the pig is happily living thereafter. Or number three, they hit the pig, and the pig is wounded, and is going to be in a bad mood. And I'm walking here without a gun. So I walked very carefully and slowly, and not trying to step on twigs or make any kind of noise. And I kept my ears open, because a pig coming through the underbrush makes a lot of noise. I looked for trees. If the pig comes through here, which tree do I jump up and go? I only would have a few seconds. So I hadn't gone very far, maybe a few hundred feet into the woods. I hear the crashing through the underbrush, and I stopped. Here, out to the clearing comes a pig, black. Of course, all boars are black. He stops, he sees me. He puts his head down almost to the ground and starts charging at me. I had picked out my tree, and I was up in that tree in record time. The pig stood at the bottom of my tree, hitting the trunk. It was a pretty sturdy tree. I was not worried. I was up about maybe 8-10 feet. And fortunately, unlike bears, boars cannot climb trees. So here, as I was in the tree, there was a wounded pig. I could tell the pig was bleeding. And I was talking to the pig. I had little experience in doing that. What do you tell the pig? Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't kill you. I'm sorry you're hurting, and I know you're hurting, but it's not my fault. So the pig was rummaging down against the trunk, and I thought, this can take a while. Fortunately, it didn't, what seemed like a long time. I think it was 10, maybe 15 minutes at the most. I think the pig got tired, and fortunately, he did not pass out at the bottom of the tree. I was concerned about this, that the pig would at least lie down. And as soon as I climbed down, he would gain some strength and go after me. I should mention at this point, a wild boar in Germany's woods or all over Europe, when wounded, is probably the most dangerous animal you can think of. A boar and even a sow has teeth. They are shaped like a sickle, upwards. They are razor sharp. The way the pig will attack you, he will have his head way down, almost on the ground. The way he charged me, way down, almost scraping the floor. And then he will move his neck up and slice you open. This is not very good. Most of the time, you fall down, and then the pig will kill you while you're on the ground. So I knew all this. Fortunately, the pig got tired. He left, and I very carefully climbed down. I knew there was a pig somewhere, and I could see him leave, but he left through the underbrush. He didn't stay nicely in the clearing. So I walked, listening to any noise coming from the underbrush, and at the same time, I sort of went from tree to tree. I'm going from this tree to the next tree, 50 feet down the road. It was not necessary. I linked up with the hunters. My father greeted me, says, "You're late. What kept you?" I said, "Dad, I spent the last 15, 20 minutes sitting in a tree talking to a pig that you guys wounded. Oh, we wounded it? He said, you sure did. The pig was bleeding and he was not in a good mood. He said, yes. We took a shot at it. The pig was moving. He was not standing still. We had no idea that we hit him. This was a good ending. I was surrounded by three hunters, all with guns. And it may be a good moment to talk about gun safety, which is badly needed everywhere, but especially in our country. I rarely saw my father get mad. He would get mad if and when I handled a gun unsafely. So never, ever point the barrel of a gun at anybody else. A gun can go off any time. You can lay a gun on the table and not do anything. The gun can go off. It could be atmospheric pressure. It could be the slightest bump. A gun can go off. You remember this. And he always told me he was a witness when a good friend of his shot and accidentally killed his wife duck hunting. He had cradled the gun in his arm. He was an experienced hunter. The gun went off and killed his wife. And my father was there, and I think it left a permanent mark when you see somebody get killed accidentally. So the thing to do is lock up your guns. We had a gun cabinet, and we had a key, and only my father and I and his wife knew where the key was. It was locked up at all times, except for the 45 Smith & Wesson in his night table. My father always said, I don't have to really hit anybody. It makes such a noise that any burglar or any intruder is going to run. This was an American Smith & Wesson 45. He never used it. And he never allowed me to shoot that gun. So this is my gun story. And Jordana, it is true. I experienced it and it's coming back. When you stand in a clearing, and you have this little black pig coming at you like a little steam engine. You never forget that.
Thanks, Dad.